Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. If you've ever felt confused about what is safe with when it comes to bone density, sorry, I lost my train of thought already, bone density and scoliosis, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome to Back Chat. I can see some of you joining in here right now. We've had a little bit of a summer break, so we've had a few months off and we are back with our Back Chat. And this is a topic that I get asked about a lot because I work with a lot of adults with scoliosis. And it seems to be around the time of menopause for women, especially when things start to get worse. And this is also a time when a lot of women get the diagnosis of osteoporosis. So today we're going to have a look at this link about osteoporosis and scoliosis. So if you are here in the chat, feel free to ask any questions. I will do my very, very best to answer them. So I have got my comments up here as well. Let me know if you can hear me okay. And we're gonna discuss this topic. And some of you might have been either diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis. That would be great to hear as well. So what actually is the link? As with a lot of things with scoliosis, we don't really know. We know that there is a link between hypermobility and scoliosis. We know that there is a link, and they've done a study on young girls with scoliosis and their siblings, and they found that the girls with scoliosis are much more likely to have low bone density as well. Now, what we don't know is what comes first. Is it that the scoliosis causes lower bone density, or is it lower bone density leading to scoliosis? So that's the thing that we don't really know. What we do know is that people with osteopenia or osteoporosis are much more likely to develop scoliosis at a later age. So we're talking about kind of 50s, 60s, that type of age, where we can also get fractures in the spine as well. So how does this help us? Of course, as always, as with everything, awareness is key, and it's key to know what's going on, of course. So having that diagnosis is really, really important, because then that's a thing where we can kind of think about our long-term strategies and how we maybe want to approach our movement practice as well. So having one condition is obviously bad enough at the end of the day. Having both of them, you could say there is a little bit more risk, but it is very, very common. So very often they do go hand in hand, but it's not a reason to panic. So there's a lot of things that we can hear. So that's kind of my little introduction to this topic. So I want to make sure that everyone is not coming in here feeling like, oh my goodness, my spine is going to fall apart. I did have a session today with someone and we did talk about this. When you get a diagnosis from somebody who talks about MRI results or X-ray results, very often it sounds a lot worse than it is. But we just need to kind of do a little bit of digging a little bit deeper and finding out what exactly this diagnosis means and what that means for our movement practice, of course. So this is what we're here for, obviously, here on this channel. We're all about movement and especially yoga and Pilates, which can be very, very helpful for both those with scoliosis and those with osteoporosis, and of course, both of them together as well. Good. So how do we know? this is the tricky bit, and this kind of depends on where you are and which part of the world. Here in the UK, you have to push for or ask for a DEXA scan, which is the scan that they do to find out if you've got low bone density. And very often they only do this once you've already had a fracture. So it's a little bit of a tricky one. I would, and I'm in my 40s now, so I haven't gone through menopause, but I would kind of treat myself as if I am heading towards osteoporosis. I haven't been diagnosed. I hope I won't get diagnosed with osteoporosis, but I'm doing everything to make sure that my bones are as strong as possible. And they are the strongest when you are at the age of around 30. And then, unfortunately, it starts to decline. Now, what is important to know is that for women, it's the years just after menopause, so the 5 to 7 years, where it can decline rapidly. And we're talking about 20%, something like this, studies have shown. So that is quite a lot. So what can we do, obviously, to counter this? Because we don't want it to go into that direction. We definitely don't want any fractures in the spine. Also, one thing to know is osteoporosis fractures usually occur in the thoracic spine. So we're kind of thinking like bottom of the neck down to that area where your ribs are poking out. So this sort of area is where those fractures occur. And then you might see some people who kind of start to be really, really rounded in the spine. So these are those little fractures that come from osteoporosis. Now, the spine is more vulnerable if you have a curvature, of course, in that area. So if you have a thoracic curvature, that is much more likely to happen than if it's just a curve in the lumbar spine. So it's the thoracic spine mainly that we are kind of concerned about the most with osteoporosis. Good. So what can we do about this? Obviously, we want to make sure, and this is what I was starting to explain, I'm doing everything personally to make sure that I'm setting myself up for the long term, so that I'm setting myself up for the best bone health position I can be in. Now, if I know already that it's going to decline during menopause, it's now really where I need to make sure that I do the most to increase, well, that's a topic for discussion. Obviously, can we actually improve bone health? A lot of people say yes, you can, or bone strength, bone density. But I can definitely make sure I'm supporting my body, strengthening my muscles as much as possible to set myself up for the long term here. And the best way to do this, it has been proven, are things that add a little bit of resistance. So we're talking working with weights, we're talking working with resistance bands. We're talking about weight bearing. So this could be bearing your own weight. So things like planks, side planks, all those fun things are included in that. And working obviously with things that are a little bit heavier. So it might not be the very, very small, tiny little weights. In Pilates, I usually say, let's start with the small ones, but we want to start going a little bit heavier as well. Some people use those jackets, the weighted jackets, for example. That can be really, really good because we know, and what this does, it creates stress for the body, and not in a bad way of like, oh, I'm so stressed at work, but something that the body has to cope with because it's more weight. And when the body has got something to that stresses it or that it has to cope with, it will start to lay on more tissues, more muscle, more bone density as well. So this is why things like those weights, the weighted jackets, are really, really good. Now, there is also this part about running and walking, stomping, that type of thing. So creating some sort of impact. Now, running is not always recommended. Running can sometimes be a little bit of a problem for those with scoliosis. It can sometimes be difficult if you've got a lot of asymmetry there. And then the risk is really about falling. So if you know you've got osteoporosis, if you had a fracture already, I wouldn't recommend to go out running straight away, because this is obviously what it increases is the risk of you falling, and you falling versus somebody in their 30s with super high bone density is obviously completely different. And you might kind of break a lot of bones, whereas the one in their 30s might not. So this is kind of the main thing to think about. Okay, so hysterectomy at 59 also caused my S-shaped severe scoliosis to get worse. Yeah, so this is also something to bear in mind. So even if we have been diagnosed with idiopathic scoliosis, which happens obviously usually in our teenage years, you might have been wearing a brace or not. Maybe you've just been like me, diagnosed with scoliosis and they gave you some physiotherapy. I had a heel lift in my shoes. That was it. And then they were like, get on with your life. Absolutely. Everything is absolutely fine. Then something happens later on in life, whatever that might be. You might have an accident, or you might have an operation like in this case, something that comes on top of the scoliosis, and then it starts to get worse. So 882 Lucky is saying strength training 3 times a week with yoga and Pilates with a reformer. I'm hoping that this has helped you. You're not saying if this has helped you, but she's saying she's 70. So yes, postmenopausal, there's still things obviously that we need to do, and it becomes so important to get that resistance in as well. It's not so important in our 20s, but later on, absolutely it is. Yes, it is. It helps, she is saying. Good. And the reformer, I don't have a reformer here in my studio, but it is great, right? Not everybody has access to a reformer. It's a massive, big machine, of course. But it does kind of everything. It's got all the resistance to it. So it's a really, really great tool to build up your strength, build up your core strength, build up your muscles. In Pilates, a lot of exercises are done in a neutral spine position where our spine is nice and long, and then we put the exercise on top. These type of exercises are great for osteoporosis and for scoliosis as well. Good. Hello. My left shoulder stands higher than the right, but in my x-ray, it is reversed S-shaped scoliosis. Please, can you tell me which type of exercise should I do? So first of all, when you're saying reverse S-shaped scoliosis, you always need to kind of think about, are you looking from the front at your x-ray, or are you looking from the back? So a proper diagnosis of scoliosis should say something like right thoracic, left lumbar, or there are different dextroscoliosis in the thoracic spine, levoscoliosis in the lumbar spine. Something like that will be much more accurate. Kind of reverse S shape. I don't know which way your X-ray is taken. So we don't really know which way it is going. You're saying your left shoulder stands higher than your right. Now, again, combined with scoliosis, not everybody who's got that type of scoliosis has that type of a pattern in their soft tissue. So that's another thing to do. However, having said this, if you're telling me that your left shoulder is a little bit higher than your right shoulder, I would work maybe, there is something on your right side, obviously, which is kind of shortened and maybe not holding you upright as much. On your left side, there might be muscles that are kind of overstretched and a little bit longer. Obviously, I would need a little bit more information to look at this. But these are the type of things that you can obviously look at, maybe have a little assessment there. And I do have a posture assessment, which you can download for free. So I can put that in the description or in the comments later on. But that's kind of a way you want to start investigating, really. Your X-ray is one part, one piece of information. Looking at yourself in the mirror is another piece of information. And you're rightly saying, I am confused. I don't know what to do, because this information might be slightly conflicting. And that's okay. It's just different pieces of information. I would also look at, is it always like this? Is it maybe different in the morning, different in the evening? Are there maybe types of things that you do during the day? And I don't know how old you are. I don't know what you are doing during the day. Obviously, if there's specific things that you're doing, are you sitting at your desk? Are you standing up quite a lot? So all of these things would, they kind of help me to find out what exercises a person does. And I usually, so we go through all of this. If I do an assessment with somebody, I will look at all the information we've got from you. Then I will look at you standing up and your posture, looking at all the information that we can get. I would ask you a lot of questions about all the things that you like to be doing during the day. I would look at, have you got any pain? Are there any things going on in your body right now? Are you having any symptoms? And then we can start to work on some different movements. The next thing really would be for me to know, what can you do? And what are you maybe struggling with? So I would look at you while you move, while you're doing different movements or exercises, yoga poses, and then we can start to kind of make a plan from there. Looking at things that you can be doing at home and practicing at home. So there are plenty of videos on this YouTube channel, obviously, as well, that you can kind of get started with and looking at, starting to educate yourself a little bit on your condition and what you need to do. So let's bring it back to osteoporosis though today, because there are a few things that are recommended for those with osteoporosis. There are a few things that are recommended for those with scoliosis. So we just want to make sure we combine those two if we're looking at our movement practice. So one of the guidelines is, as we already said, we want to focus on weight-bearing resistance and we want to focus on balance exercises. Now, these are great for osteoporosis because you want to practice not falling. These are also great for scoliosis because with scoliosis, we have a bit of a problem with proprioception, and it's our sense of us in the space around us. So it might mean that you bump into things or that you're a little bit clumsy, that you don't know if you're standing like you are, you think you're standing straight, but somebody says, oh, you're completely wonky. So this is called proprioception. And the way to improve it is creating lots of different movements, but it's also challenging your sense of balance as well. That can be really, really helpful. So that's one of the things to do. We want to make sure we strengthen. Obviously, we want to strengthen the back, which again is the same for osteoporosis and scoliosis. We want to strengthen the glutes. Again, for both conditions, really, really important. And we want to strengthen the core. Now, if we're talking about core strength, we need to be talking about some of the things that we might want to avoid. And those things, because a lot of people sometimes confuse core strength with having a six pack. And in order to have a six pack, those defined muscles in your abdomen, you need to do things like crunches. You need to do things like, you know, Russian twists, things like adding a crunch and a twist. These are the things, unfortunately, that you need to avoid with both osteoporosis and scoliosis. They're the ones that take you further into rotation, and they are a coupled movement, especially if you do the twist with the crunch together. And they are just not very good, especially if you had a fracture before. So if you've had a osteoporosis-related fracture in the spine, you're not going to do it. So really, really important just to keep this in mind. Now, the other thing, having said this, that you do not want to do is start to be scared of movement. So that might, you might be like, well, Christine, you just told me what I need to be afraid of. The worst thing you can do is not do anything. So in a way, I'd rather you do your crunches than not doing anything at all, because that is absolutely the worst thing to do. So you do not want to become afraid of movement. And just to kind of keep this in mind a little bit, yes, movement can cause your fractures, but really it's the type of movement where we're not aware. It's the lifting heavy things without awareness. It's sudden impact things, movements, falling, obviously, sudden movements with pull, with force. Think about kind of car stopping, almost accident or braking heavy, sudden movements where you didn't have a chance to prepare, where you're not breathing through it, where you're not aware of what you're doing. Those are the type of movements that can cause your fractures. Now, there is also a thing about this, the forward bending, of course, so the deep flexion of the spine. Again, I would be more concerned if it's for people that have had a fracture already. Yes, I understand you want to avoid having a fracture, obviously, as well. Mobility of the spine is really, really important, though, obviously, especially if you've not had any spinal fusion. You want to make sure you keep your mobility up. I find for scoliosis, our concern is if we're doing a forward bend, we're also rotating the spine. So every time we're rounding, we're also twisting. So it's not a movement that would come up in my classes a lot. We don't do it very much. We sometimes do it. I don't feel like we need to practice this a whole lot. What I find interesting, though, or what I would like to practice, is coming out of that forward bend. So if you're in this rounded position, can you roll yourself out of it? So that is a really, really valuable type of exercise, and that I would recommend building into your exercise regime. Good. So we talked about kind of things to avoid, obviously, We talked about what things to do as well. Again, it's about improving your posture, your balance, and it's about reducing the risk of falling. And if you fall, can you do it in a way where you're not just kind of flopping? You know, if you have enough kind of muscle strength and resistance, there is you will be able to support yourself a lot better. So movement is not your enemy. Movement is your friend, is kind of the summary for this. And this is a big, big topic. So osteoporosis, there's so much more to learn. There's so much more to think about. If you want to kind of get some examples of a practice where we're really working on increasing bone density, where we're working on really understanding this kind of coupled condition of osteoporosis and scoliosis, we've got a workshop coming up on the 16th of September. So it's coming up very, very soon. It's going to be 2 hours long, and it's with the fabulous Meredith Stevens. Now, she is a Schroth therapist. I know she is a Pilates instructor. She's probably a yoga instructor as well. She's a physiotherapist. She's an anatomy trained. So if anybody is aware of Tom Meyer's work with anatomy trains, she's an instructor for him. So very, very experienced, very knowledgeable lady that I can't wait to learn from. We had her in the membership before. We're going to have her again. It's going to be a fabulous session. And again, it's happening on the 16th of September. If you are a member already, then you don't need to do anything. You're just going to get the link and you can join us for the session. If you're not a member already, I would suggest that you sign up for the membership. You can just try it out for a month and then cancel afterwards if you didn't enjoy it. But that will give you access to the workshop as well. And right now is a great time to join in the membership, because we are going to increase our prices very, very shortly. So make sure you join. I'm going to extend our deadline a little bit. So you've got until the 17th of September to join at the old price. The workshop is obviously happening on the 16th. So if you want to join that live especially, then make sure to join us for that. We will record it. I know you're going to ask me this. Yes, we will record it. If you're in a different time zone, if you can't make it on that day, if you are signed up for it, you can watch the recording as well. Good. So this was just a little overview. I'm hoping I've gone through a lot of information here relatively quickly. I'm hoping that this was useful for you. Feel free to let me know in the comments. Let me know if you've been diagnosed with osteoporosis. And then I'm hoping to see some of you in the workshop with Meredith very soon. Good. So thank you very much, guys, and I see you very soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.